With that, we will move on to item 10, presentation on travel reimbursement and educational tracking process.
Good morning.
Good morning. You have the floor.
Okay. Well, this is more of a refresher for some of you and maybe just some gentle reminders, but just feel it's important every once in a while to go through the whole process just to make sure we're all clear on what we need to do. And if there's some questions about the logistics of things, we can certainly answer those questions for you. Okay. The main purpose of having education requirements is built upon these rules that we have. First off, the County Employees Retirement Law of 1937, CERL, requires that you, as all board members, have to receive 24 hours of education within the first 2 years of assuming your office, and then every subsequent two-year period in which you serve on the board. So when we provide information to you, it's based on your board time period that we look at those 2 years. We also have a CSERA fiduciary education policy that outlines the need for board members to develop and maintain an appropriate level of education and skill necessary to administer the retirement system prudently and to be able to ask those very important questions you have to the presenters that come here. Board members are also required to receive ethics training within 1 year of assuming your office and then every 2 years following, as well as newly elected or appointed board members are required to receive sexual harassment prevention training and education that they must receive within at least 2 hours of the training within the first 6 months of taking office and then every 2 years thereafter. So those are requirements for you as board members. So we have this travel expense and reimbursement policy primarily so we can set the travel guidelines for you as board members as well as the CSERA staff. It sets the reimbursement guidelines and how to administer the program. And it delegates the CEO to the authority to approve staff travel at CSERA. The board is charged with defraying responsible expenses of administering the system and making sure that reimbursement for expenses must not exceed what is reasonable and necessary for travel. So travel items that meet the following criteria are included on a board agenda that you get to review, and they must be able to be granted if there's necessary funds are available. If the program includes subject matter directly related to retirement issues, and the retirement association will benefit from the attendance of staff and board at these travel. So how many board members can attend at a conference at one time? It depends if it's open to the public or not. So if it's not open to the public because it requires an affiliation to a certain organization, the maximum number of board members that can attend is 4. If it is open to the public, then all board members can attend. However, we do caution that they not discuss their business amongst themselves while they're at those conferences. Examples of conferences that are open to the public are CalPERS and SACRS, which we routinely send staff and board members to attend. So now that you've approved the travel, what's the next step? So during our board meeting, admin staff over there expertly listens to board members that express an interest in attending travel. Once that's approved through the process here, admin staff will reach out to the board members and start asking questions in regards to travel plans, flights, hotel stays, and any additional information that the conference may need for the attendees. Admin staff will make the travel arrangements using our CSERA issued credit card and will complete all the registrations for the board members prior to going to the conference. When considering what type of transportation one may take, if is based on the most reasonable and cost-effective rate and mode of travel, whether it be a car or a plane. Mileage is reimbursed at the current IRS rate, and it does not, which does not exceed the cost of round-trip airfare plus reasonable expenses associated with air travel. So if you're a person who likes to drive instead of fly, we compare the cost between the two and determine which is the most reasonable. As far as lodging is considered, all reservations are routinely made at the single occupancy regular rate plus room taxes and related fees. Personal items such as in-room movies, meals for other people other than yourselves, alcohol, personal clothing, or toiletries, those will not be reimbursed. If for some reason one of these items are charged to the Sisera Visa, then a check should be submitted immediately upon return and made payable to Sisera. In addition, one needs to consider that the items in the mini bars and hotels are not reimbursed. Reimbursement is provided when traveling during a meal period. For example, if the conference starts in the morning and you fly the night before, then dinner would be included. Tips on meals can be reimbursed up to 20%. The maximum amount of reimbursement for all meals in a single day is $100. And once again, reimbursement will not be provided for alcoholic beverages. Other things to consider when crossing a bridge: bridge toll, porterage, public transportation, they're all reimbursable items. Parking, airport transportation, taxi, transportation services also are reimbursable items for business. As an example, if you need to transport to and from the conference. Reasonable tips and gratuities are also reimbursed. And a very important item on the bottom, keep all itemized receipts. So once you have your travel arranged, what happens next? Admin staff will provide a very detailed and generally very colorful travel itinerary, right, please? With your confirmation numbers. If you're flying, you're responsible for checking in for your flight. If you're staying at a hotel, it will normally be reserved on the Sisera credit card. So when you get there, you'll need to provide identification and a credit card for them to put on file. If the hotel should be instructed at check-in to use the card on file for approved charges, so there's no confusion with your credit card and Sisera credit card. In addition, in the travel itinerary packet that you are provided, there will be a continuing education submission form in that packet. Excuse me. Sisera requires the board to keep a record of your compliance with the education policy, and we need to post the policy and an annual report on the board member compliance on our website. So in order to comply, we keep a log of all continuation education hours that are submitted by all your board members. And annually in January, the log is posted on the Sisera website, which is currently up to date on the website. And prior to posting the log, admin will provide a list of all your educational hours logged for you, which we ask that you review to make sure that we've captured all your hours before we report that information on our website, which we just completed that process. So your travel is completed, and as far as getting reimbursed, the first thing you need to do is complete a travel demand and attach all itemized receipts, including any hotel charge receipts and meal receipts. Complete and submit the continuing education submission form if it's applicable. And if you receive a certificate, please provide us with a copy so we can keep it in your file. So in addition to that, your responsibility as board member is to, at the next board meeting, provide pertinent information about the conference. And usually, if it's multiple board members, someone will volunteer to speak on everyone's behalf. And that information, again, is provided to all the board members so they know what was important about those conferences or educational programs. So as far as completing the travel demand, we have this very lovely itemized sheet that Lou spent a lot of time on. So I'm going to try to go through it all, and if there's very specific questions, Lou might have to jump in, and she's prepared, right? Okay, so the first thing, as you well know, is to put your name in there, and that will populate a vendor number automatically. I can't see that far. And don't forget the month and the date. When you're putting in, you have to make sure you do one travel per, demand per conference or trip. So don't try to say, I'm going to save some time and effort and shove them all in the same one. You have to have separate travel demands. Have you? Okay. Yes. I think Luz does a great job of training you all on how to properly do this, so you could probably tell me. So as far as putting down your from and to, it's always your home to the airport and back. So it's, we just use Concord as an example, but if you live in Martinez or Alamo, it's your home to wherever you're going to and back. Please make sure to put in the conference name, the location where the conference is, and the dates of the conference. For miles, always put it in the number of miles in the other column, because when you do your mileage for coming to the board meetings, it's in it. You use it for the board meeting miles. You enter your airfare in the airfare column. And in the hotel total, if you can, when you leave, you ask for a folio from the front desk, or if we provide it to you. Hopefully we would like one that has a zero balance on it. So that helps us with our record keeping. As far as the meals goes, it's really important that you have each meal receipt entered separately. And there's an example here that if you buy dinner at the grill and then you buy a bottle of water at the gift shop, those are two separate receipts even though you're having it at the same meal. It just has to be itemized separately. Receipts for the following tips. Maid, bellhop, porters, shuttle drivers, those are not required to have receipts for those. But they can be put in the other expenses category. And most importantly, don't forget to date and sign at the bottom. Okay.
Scott?
Any questions?
Question. Can you put the last slide back up
sure.
for a second? Thank you. So I don't want to overthink this, but On the from and to category,
mm-hmm.
I can see just looking at the example here that I routinely must be doing this wrong because I typically will put the from and to any to and from airport travel. So, you know, LaGuardia to downtown or what have you. It looks like the intent here is solely to capture a mileage reimbursement to from and nothing else.
For your driving. So if you're taking a taxi from your hotel to the airport,
right.
That's different. But if you're driving your car from your home to the airport, that's where you put that
okay.
mileage. Is that what you mean?
Yeah, I mean, I'm just looking at the example, and I looked at this, I don't know, a couple of nights ago. I realized that, you know, maybe different people do different things. But I try to line item every different expense as opposed to just running a linear line across for instance, the Calipers Trustee Roundtable. I would have airfare on one line. I might have a taxi or an Uber Lyft on a different line. I might have the board trip to and from the airport on a different line, and it looks like that's not the way you want it.
Well, luckily for you, it's one travel demand per trip. So if it's just you're all working on the Calipers trip, it is best to kind of go linear across, but it's only information for that one conference, so it all will be
right.
You know, added up together.
So, Scott, are you saying, like, you might have airfare on one line, hotel on the next line, meals on the next line?
Well, I actually, now realizing maybe I don't have to, but I on each line, I separately break out a trip from hotel to the airport. In other words, that's a Lyft or an Uber or taxi, what have you, and there's a separate line for the airport to wherever I'm going. Because I thought that's how it was supposed to be broken down. I guess I don't want to overthink this, but I just am looking at this, realizing that maybe I made it too complicated than I needed to. But
that's the educational session.
I did like the dates, like say it's a 3-day conference, and day one I took the taxi cab. I put the day taxi cab to and from.
Yes.
Right, and then like the meal, I put lunch.
And I think that's fine.
That's fine.
I think that the main thing is that we don't want to have folks combining receipts and just putting it in one cell kind of thing.
Got it. Yeah.
So if
no,
you're breaking
understood.
It down, you know, that shouldn't be a problem.
Okay.
Mike?
Good.
Scott, I agree with you, because every one that I've ever made out of these travel demands is usually just like they require it, exactly like what you're saying. This is new, but it's very simplified. The question I have is there a policy for minimum distances, whether it's a commute, training, or an overnight stay?
What do you mean as far as?
In other words, I can't go from here to Pleasant Hill and decide to stay overnight at a hotel.
We usually use the kind of 50-mile range.
50?
Like San Francisco, Sacramento.
Okay.
That's not specifically in the policy, but informal.
That's fair. That gives you a general thumbnail, yeah. Good.
That's kind of how we look
Super.
At distance.
Thank you.
Any other questions for him?
If I'm recalling correctly, somewhere in here we also talk about original receipts.
Yes.
Receipts. I haven't done it that way in years. What I do is take a copy of course, these little teeny printouts and put that in and have a separate one for each one of them. But it's not the original. The original is far more difficult to put together in a package and turn in with the demand. No one has said no at this point. I'm doing it that
we
way.
We prefer original receipts, but I understand sometimes that would be difficult. I think that will be addressed a little bit later in the policy discussion.
And we also acknowledge, too, that nowadays, you know, you might get a Uber or Lyft email, and that's the original receipt.
Right.
You know, we're not, and even some restaurants don't provide the little dog-eared receipt anymore either. They'll
yes.
send you a text with the receipt or something. Yeah, but it is preferred.
Okay, I think it's easier, for me, it's easier to deal with if everything's 8.5 by 11,
right.
As contrasted to lots of small pieces of paper or something. Okay, sounds like we can still do that, so. Okay.
It's just preferable for us, it's easier to keep track of, but if it's, like Gail said, some kind of situations, they don't really have that ability to give you a receipt in the normal fashion. We'll work with you making it happen.
Rusty?
I was just going to suggest to John maybe put your receipts on in an envelope, okay, so they stay together as opposed to trying to pile them up and staple them into the back of your packet. Just put them in an envelope and staple the envelope with the rest of your stuff. And then the question I had too was on the meal receipts, you have a date column over here to the left.
Mm-hmm.
Do you have to line up your date column or dates with the receipt, or the receipts don't necessarily need to have a date alongside them?
I think it's easier going across, but...
So if I have multiple receipts for a gig,
right.
for one day,
right.
does that mean I have separate line items for each receipt?
Correct.
Well, then will I also need to date them and the date use the date column for the same receipts?
Date.
Itemize them.
Yeah.
But the date, they don't have to coincide with the date over here to the left. That's just for travel or the...
Yes.
Exactly. Okay, cool.
Yes, but it would be nice if it's in some sense of order, but whatever works.
Mm-hmm.
some sense of order. You have to make sense of it.
Yeah. Donnie, all I was going to say was for the receipt part, is rather than using an envelope, just tape them to an 8.5 11. So that's what I get to do with the county all the time, and it seems to work, because then it's easy to make a copy of for when they inevitably get lost.
Accounting likes that as well, because it's flat and easy to copy.
Any other questions for Ann? Jerry?
I would just say I've been doing this for over 10 years, and on my bucket list is to submit a demand that doesn't come back with a correction on it. I still have that goal out there.
Are you saying it hasn't happened yet?
I'm sorry?
It hasn't happened yet?
I don't know. I may have one or two out there. One, just one.
Thanks, Luz. And now that you brought that up, I'd like to point to this typo in your example. It says Oakland to Concord, and then shuttle.
Wow. Thanks, Jerry.
Just throwing you under the bus, too.
Okay, thank you. That's true. We work on this together.
Anyone else have anything for Ann? Okay, seeing none. Thank you very much.
Thank you.